Dancing Brumby's Rainbow, Silver Brumby, Book 11, written by Eileen Mitchell and read by Caroline Lee. It was when Dandaloo and Chupa were beside the last rocky outcrop, with its dwarf snow gums twisting their way up out of the granite rock fissures, that the moon rose slowly over the Crackenback Valley, and trees and rocks grew ghostly moon shadows. Chupa shied. Shadow, or huge, fierce stallion? Was there anything there at all? Dandaloo did not shy, did not believe there was anything to be seen. They walked up on the snowgrass basin as moonlight began to flood it, and the silvery light made their own river of mist glitter around their legs. There was no sound. A wallaby hopped out of the mist from behind Chupa, shone in the moonlight that lit upon particles of mist moisture which clung to its soft coat, and vanished. Chupa was disquieted. He looked back. Dandaloo was still following. Why had the wallaby disappeared when it left the river of mist? Dandaloo must not vanish. She must not fade away, nor must he himself. They must go on together to the high lakes. Was that only a moon shadow? Could it be a huge horse? Where had that wallaby gone? Chupa tried to stop himself from being jumpy. He waited till Dandaloo was beside him. The mist seemed to get colder, wetter. The shadows thrown by trees and rocks were surely moving. They climbed on up the big basin. Then the only shadows were their own. Horse moon shadows climbing up beside them, but without mist around the shadow legs. Chupa watched their shadows out of the corner of his eye. Dandaloo's shadow behind his, and there was the happy, bumpy shadow of a wombat close behind hers. But no wallaby shadow. The wombat must be too cumbersome and too slow to jump out of the river of mist and vanish. The river of mist was their safeguard, their promise. The rocky tor of the South Ram's Head was above them. Soon they would climb the last few feet up onto the ridge that looked down into the steep Leather Barrel Valley. Chupa loved that valley, but the lakes kept calling him. Before the moon set, he must get to that double lake in the Northcote Canyon and splash the water up into the silver light of the moon. As he climbed the last few steps onto the top of the ridge, Chupa had a whole mixture of memories of that first journey he had made to the high country. Memories of Son of Storm and of the foal, Bri-Bri, who was now so much bigger than he. He remembered dancing into the lakes. Bri-Bri loved to watch him dancing, but she never danced. It would be fun to have a yearling or two-year-old of his own size who would romp and dance with him. He called a gentle call to the imagined playfellow. There was no answer. The music, which he had once heard way up near the highest mountains, was lilting through his head. He did a few dancing steps, put his head down into the moon-glinting mist, and turned a somersault. Somehow, he felt sure that something exciting lay ahead, an answer to a question, the fulfillment of a dream. His dream, or Dandaloo's. Moonlight flooded mountains and valleys. Such a lot of memories and dreams became like moon shadows in Chupa's mind. Little blue roan dwarf whose legs would keep doing a dance in the mist. There were magic memories of the double lake, just dancing memories of happiness. It was at that other lake below the great overhanging snowdrift on the highest mountain that the men had caught him. Even though France, The man whom he loved must have organized to have him caught. It really had seemed as if France was sorry, rubbing his ears and comforting him all through that long journey. At last, the long journey had ended. And then there was the music and the dancing camels, the music and the dancing. Finally, there had been the unlocked gate and the long journey from the circus, over the rolling hills, till he found Dandaloo. Chupa sighed deeply at his mixture of memories and dreams, and turned back to rub against Dandaloo. Now they must reach that ice-cold double lake. Together they walked on, and the lake where the men had captured Chupa lay shining in the moonlight below its very high mountain and the curved cornice of the dust-stained snow of last winter. There was still a long way to go, right over two heads of the Snowy River and up and over the Northcote Pass, before they would reach the glowing, jewel-like double lake. It was indeed a long way, and longer by moonlight, but they crossed those two heads of the great Snowy River and had climbed up onto the Crescent Pass before the moon had started to slide behind the long and rocky Townsend Spur.